Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Or good afternoon to you.
Indeed so. Thank you. Okay, our assignment from yesterday. The way out of suffering is to be engaged in the process of ending suffering. Assignment. As you sit with all you've seen so far about how you are caused to suffer around the process of control, allow to arise in conscious awareness what freedom from suffering would look like for you. How would you rather be with the process of control? What would you choose as the alternative to the habitual conditioned orientation? RL, what you see. Example, I would rather be here for how life is than lost in a conversation that produces anxiety and worry. All right, so first caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Florida.
Hello, Elizabeth. What are you seeing?
Hi. First, yeah, thank you. Gratitude, a lot of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, yeah, I'm in a marriage of 47 years, and still the both we want to control each other.
Uh-huh. Say more.
But the mentor is coming like faster and quicker to help out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that when we actually turn to love, to wisdom, to compassion, there's a way in which we can be with how it is rather than those well-established patterns of control, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Much gratitude for the help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. A lot of gratitude for the assistance of practice.
Yes.
So yes. Do you have a sense?
Never give up.
Never give up. Do you have a sense of how you would rather have it be than be controlled by conditioning?
Sometimes it's so much love. It's just love, so it doesn't matter. Anything else doesn't matter.
Right. Right. So you would rather choose to focus on the love than on, I would project, control for you is having it your way or going in a certain way or having the other person be or do something in a particular way. Would that be what you were looking at?
Yeah, I love to be by myself and alone and my husband is 83 now and he is interrupting me a lot.
Needing
my help as a secretary, as well, everything. I feel I have not enough time to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the practice, to be inside and also outside.
Mm. That's so beautifully said, Elizabeth, that there's a recognition that you like being with yourself. And that the conditioned orientation is that being with yourself can be interrupted when someone else needs something from you. But the realization of what you want is to stay connected to yourself regardless of being with another person. And it's so difficult to do and yet so important that we don't leave ourselves just because we're with someone else, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the way that perspective is, if I'm identified with ego, I've left love. And so when we get identified with, I want to be alone, I don't want to be interrupted, then we've already left ourselves. But if we stay with that love, then we can be with ourselves and with the other person simply because we have not identified with ego, which is a separation from ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Wow, that's very big to see.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. It does get us to gratitude.
Yes. Tears of gratitude.
Tears of gratitude. Tears of gratitude because there's the ability to be in love with you, in love with your husband, in love with everything in life, and feel that sense of connectedness, which is what I project comes from being alone. We could be alone with ego, but it sounds like you're alone with life, and or you're with life, and that's an extremely fulfilling and present place.
Yes. Yes. So I love the quarantine.
Yes, yes, yes. We get to practice that ability to stay connected, and then our interruptions are assistance to see how well we can stay connected when we're interrupted, right?
Yes.
Then becomes a workshop.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Ashmini.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And Ashwini, with the quarantine part of that just strikes a chord at this point. And for me, that really goes to the wisdom of no escape. That there just is, in a quarantine, there just is no other way to no other place to turn other than to that love that you're talking about. Right? That we're just kind of in it and in whatever process of control conditioning has us up to. The impossible task, as we say, and then just no other place to turn other than to that love.
Yeah.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Stefania.
Hi, Stefania.
Hi, Ashwini. I'm surprised as usual when we get to talk. I just want to say that I feel good, and I had a fear because I remember that more than one has been said, you know, be careful because when you feel good, that's when ego is gonna kick back and not kick back actually, kick forward and try to trick you soon. But overall, I feel good because I try to focus on my need and the fact that again, being in quarantine, I'm taking care of my family in a different way, which is good. I'm worried because I'm not working, but because of the quarantine. But I feel like I take advantage of this time at home and. At the same time, I had the ego saying, oh, you should be worried and you should be doing this and that. You should especially be worried and such. But I'm actually fine. And I just want to say that it's true that if we are just in the present and the present require this and that, it's good. I mean, as I say, the voice are saying yes, but there's a lot of people that are very unhappy with this situation, actually desperate because of this and that. Mm-hmm. And I try to take a breath and say yes, but I cannot do much for that. And so there's, as I say, I'm fine. I think I'm good. I just have to go back and forth with this, I don't know if I call it this discussion or small fight about saying yes, but you can only take it one person at a time, and that is you, and all this.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Stefania, you're describing so well what we're up against, right? That in this moment, my experience is that I'm feeling what you said is feeling good, which is an experience that we have of a sense of well-being or happiness when we're not focused on what's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And what's wrong is always the conversation conditioned mind. So every time you see your attention wandering to that, however it's described as wrong, well, you're all right, but there's so many people out there who aren't. Or you're here and you're okay, but you're not working, right? There's a way in which that conversation keeps trying to use some kind of content in your life for you not to feel good.
Yeah.
Including... when you're feeling good, oh, well, you know, sooner or later, that's not going to be that way, because sooner or later, the ego is going to come after you and you're going to feel bad.
Yeah.
It has no problem saying it's going to make you feel bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to pay attention like that, we really notice, as you said, it's a back and forth. As long as I'm here, I'm feeling a sense of well-being. As long as my attention goes to that conversation, I'm not.
Yeah.
And so then we just, you know, we just know what our work is, which is to keep redirecting the attention. And the more we bring our attention back to here, the more capable we become of having the attention here on well-being rather than that attention flitting off to the conversation.
Yeah.
And we do
yeah.
have to...
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, and we do have to practice in good times, right?
Yeah.
When we are able to, in order to develop that capacity to when something becomes really challenging, then we're, the attention gets drawn so much to those negative conversations, and it's not as easy to bring the attention back to a sense of well-being in a challenging situation.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it's so true, because last year I actually had a very challenging health. One of my son was very sick. And I remember being at the hospital and thinking, I'm fine. Just now, you're breathing, yeah. So we're fine. And
yeah.
And I remember there was again the voice saying la la la, and I was like, well, that's the only thing I can think. That's the only thing that is sure, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Until you're breathing.
Yes, exactly so.
Yeah. And in fact, it's funny because, of course, elaborating it after, it was different than when I was there. And when I was there, I said, well, you know, I'm enjoying this time with you, and it's great. And of course, luckily I was able to do short, I mean, I was very afraid for other things, but I remember having several moments of, you know, it is the only thing I can do right now, so it is the best thing I can do right now. And luckily they weren't, I mean, the situation was so difficult that the voice didn't need to add more, much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was enough. But at the same time, it was simply enough that I was able to handle it. You know, and I remember, yeah, exactly, I remember the voice, the word of Sherry saying, you know, this is the practice you need when things are going to be worse. And I felt like, yeah, you know, I'm desperate for some situation, but overall I'm handling pretty good because of this practice of go back to the present and the single moment. And so, yeah, as I say, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is funny, isn't it? Funny in that sense of how our experience is so different from what we're told it would be. That in the most challenging of situations, there was the ability to stay present, not listen to the voices, and to know that to touch into that deep sense of well-being that is what we truly are, right?
Yeah.
And so then that's our choice. Going back to our assignment for today, that is the choice that you're making. I'm going to choose that well-being in every moment, whether it's challenging or whether it's not challenging. Whether I feel good or not feel good, that sense of well-being is not something that is taken away from us by that negative conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes us really grateful, going back to Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefania.
Thank you, Stefania. Shmini, I'm going to bring on our next caller. I've been busy managing the queue here.
Yes, I know the feeling, Chris. It's your maiden voyage.
Trying to get a sense of how it all works. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Janet from England.
Hello, Janet.
Hello there, hi. I just wanted to say how helpful I found the open air broadcast on the 21st of April, which I've played over and over and over again, which really ties in with what you were talking about yesterday, which is the practice of practice. And just breathe a little bit more calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And that just deeply realizing that there is no failure. There's no failure. And I finished a piece of work a couple of days ago, and this wonderful relief swept over me, and then gradually over the last few days the pressure has started to come back on, so I got a little reprieve, and then the nagging voices will start again, and I just, because of the support and listening to these calls, it just made me smile. It is no big deal. I mean, I still get identified, but it's practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are two things you're saying, Janet, that are so important, right? This is why it's an awareness practice. And it's amazing because we are so conditioned to do something, to fix something, to improve something, to change something, that we don't ever see that something like awareness transforms, right? And so to be able to just look at that process of, okay, well, I get a piece of work done, and then I feel relief, and then the voices start over again, and that is supposed to be failure in practice. But when I see that totality of process, that's what happens, that's just a program. The programming has all of these elements, and the program will continuously run, and it has nothing to do with me. And so I've not failed because I hear a voice that says whatever it says after that period of relief. It's just simply another step in the program. And stepping back from that gives me a sense of smiling, right? The absurdity of, okay, well, there it goes again.
Yeah.
Let it go. Yeah. And I can have my own experience.
Yeah. And after what you said yesterday, I wrote down, spot the suffering, recognize it, drop it, come back here. And I thought, oh, that's like a two-step shuffle.
Like exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's practice, right? And you can dance,
yes,
right? Because we know the steps. And once we know the steps, we could just do the dance and enjoy the process. And practice becomes enjoyable, not some one more piece of work that I have to accomplish and get beaten up because somehow or the other I didn't achieve the outcome that I don't know. I don't even know what the outcome is, but I didn't achieve it, right?
Yeah. And even if I did achieve it, then if it changes, then I get beaten up for not realizing. So there's no way to win. There's always going to be a complaining voice, and
exactly,
and just seeing that as the game, Thank you very much.
You can guarantee that there's going to be a complaining voice because that's what it does. It just complains all the time, right? So, yeah, I can see it. It's part of the game. I don't have to believe it. I can just keep having a good time and doing the two-step shuffle.
And doing the two-step shuffle. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Janet. And Ashwini, I'm going to bring on our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing that.
Laura, I can't hear you very well. Is there any way you could be a little bit louder?
Sure. Is this better?
Much better.
Let's see. My process is that I am feeling identified, and I've been having trouble with keeping up with the retreat. So the process of control I've been looking at is not enough time, feeling like I don't have enough time.
So no time and not enough time to keep up with the retreat being a manifestation of that process.
Yeah, and specifically it's like I have the feeling I don't have enough time, and then at a certain point I just say, well, forget all this. I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want.
Uh-huh.
I end up staying up late, you know, doing whatever. And then I don't do, you know, the practices and all
uh-huh.
that kind of thing.
So that's how you are controlled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it sets it up as there is no time, and that sense of frustration I project with, okay, well, mm-hmm. I can't get on top of all of this, and so I'm just going to move into that personality that basically says, you know what, don't care, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and then stay up, and I project that leads to having less time when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah. So that's it.
Mm. So, Laura, how would you rather it be?
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I was seeing that it's like right now I'm having trouble even like accessing that. Like it just feels like a should. Like it's like, yeah, I know how it should be. Like I know how I'd like it to be, but it's not possible for me. So why even think about it, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So the identification, from within the identification, it's really, really hard to access what the alternative would be. Because for that identification, it feels like another should. Something else that's going to rob you of your time.
Well, it's kind of like, it's just another failure. Like, I know that
another
I shouldn't
failure.
Be, like, I know, quote unquote, that, like, I shouldn't be having this experience. I'm supposed to be having another experience.
Uh-huh. You're supposed to be having another experience. Uh-huh. So Laura, let me ask you this. Is there something that in your life you're happy about?
Yeah. With our new commitment study program, I've been looking at trees, just like sitting and looking at trees.
Uh-huh.
For a little while every day, and I've been liking that.
Uh-huh. Do you have a favorite tree?
Yeah, there are a couple behind my house that I like.
Uh-huh. Are like?
Oh, that I like.
That you like. What do you like about them?
I like watching the way they move in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I've also realized that watching trees means watching birds.
Watching trees is like watching birds. Yeah, and they sound so delightful.
So it means watching birds because there's always birds there. So getting to know all the birds that are there.
What else? What else do you enjoy about that?
I think feeling my husband's emotion coming up. This is the it's time when I just get to be still.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm able to be successful at right now.
And that's exactly what we're practicing, right, Laura? That there's a way in which I'm identified. We turn our attention to what makes us happy, to the experience of happiness, not as it should. And as soon as we do, the identification dissolves, which is how you experience that as emotion. right? Because you touch into what is true for you. That's how we disidentify. That's how we break the control of conditioned mind. That's how we step back from the identification. Yeah. Yeah. And it's doing the two-step, right? You realize you're identified. You call into the queue. You get some assistance to redirect your attention. And then the identification dissolves because there's a willingness for that, right? Now you're in touch with a human being who's successful rather than being identified with someone who feels unsuccessful or who's made to feel unsuccessful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's been helpful to kind of realize, too, that part of why this feels so intense right now may be that I'm looking at it and that tends to happen. That when I start looking at something big, like that, you know, it's everything. It sort of starts throwing everything at me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's good to realize that part of the process, right? So when you're confronting something like it's control over you, it's going to throw the big guns at you and say you're a failure, and so then we just do what we do, which is practice with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I was sort of dreading, hoping that I wouldn't be called on today, but I think it was good.
Yes, go hug a tree. Go sit with that tree, right? Yes. Direct link to happiness.
Yes.
All right. You take care of yourself,
thank
Laura.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. And Ashwini, with that... hold on a second here. I was just really getting it that when we're being controlled by conditioning, that what we're really saying is that our attention is being pretty tightly directed by conditioning, and that was just a great example of, one way of many to kind of loosen the grip on the attention, to just begin to focus on the present and see what happens in that.
Right, and when you don't have a facilitator, you pick up the reporter.
Yes, exactly. Oh, hold on a second here. All right, I think we have time for one more caller.
Excellent.
Let me see. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini, Bob. This is Sandy from Florida.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi. I especially wanted to call in today because I'm in a place of deep gratitude because yesterday I wasn't. And I found myself locked in a very dark room with conditioning yesterday. Everything was wrong, nothing was right, and everything was out of my control. And I paused to say control like that to put an emphasis on, you know, it was totally a fight with control.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so there's that undulation, right, that we feel so out of control or in the grips of conditioning, so controlled by conditioning, and that's a very, very dark place. And I project what you're saying, that today it feels different because perhaps that vice grip of ego on you is not there. And that's a sense of feeling relief and gratitude that, that's not happening right now.
Exactly. Yes, and there is. I don't think I could have laughed out loud yesterday for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a deep, deep gratitude for the person who can laugh out loud today. And although conditioning still wants to beat me up today with, well, you know, if you were practicing this way, that way, or appropriately, you never would have had a day of being in the dark room lacking the willingness to get out of it.
Yes, and I hope you're seeing the absolute Kropola that one is, right?
Yeah,
it's the same thing that we've been talking about all day, I mean all morning, right, with Stefania and with Janet, that is just part of the program. Here you are, not in the groups of conditioned mind, and that's the attempt to get you back in relationship with it. And so you just say, not having that conversation.
Yep, just not going there, just staying with the gratitude that today is a different day, it's not the same as yesterday, and I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And we have no idea, right, Sandy, that why yesterday was the way it was, because we often have to come up against it in order to learn something.
Yeah, interesting.
Go ahead.
I could make a list of content and say yesterday was because of this happened and this happened and this happened, but it's not true. It's all a big lie, because the content could be there on any given day. I just viewed it differently yesterday because I viewed it from the eyes of conditioning.
Yes, and so it just tells us the extent of practice that we still need to do, right? That's, if nothing else, that's the gratitude. I'm so inspired to continue to practice so that Sandy is not left in that suffering place.
Yes, so beautifully said. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, thank you, Sandy. And Ashwini, that brings us to the end of the show. And
well, thank you, Chris.
Well, certainly, my pleasure. I learned a lot, so that's always a big success.
Yeah.
All right, our assignment for today. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. As you sit with what freedom from suffering looks like for you with the process of control, allow to arise in conscious compassionate awareness a way to train to be free from suffering around control. Assignment. Make a commitment that embodies your training focus. This will be your daily practice for the next 7 days. Remember, as awareness practitioners, our practice of commitments is not about achieving a content goal. We're always training to pay attention. Example. I'm going to make a recording that is reassuring to the person who feels out of control and listen to it 3 times a day, as well as when I notice the conversation whipping up anxiety or fear. All right.
Thank you once again, Chris.
Very exciting. Yes, thank you too, Ashwini.
Reach and take care and go happy, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Take care.